The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Thank y'all for tuning in to Politics, Religion, and Whiskey, the Josh Terry Podcast, brought to you by Raising Grace Studios. Want to give a big shout out to Nobles Networking, Williams Tire, Par Hopper, our official golf apparel sponsor. Thank you, Jay Piper, for all that you do, graphic design and everything else for us. Also, Red Circle, our management company, all the corporate sponsors, the big boys that you got associated with the show. Thank y'all. I don't know how they haven't like dropped all my contracts yet from the shit I say, but thank y'all. Apparently they don't care what you say as long as you get a lot of downloads. 5 years ago, first thing that I ever got to do as far as people knowing who Bearded Bastard was, I got the privilege of doing a show with this guy that I'm about to introduce y'all to. And I don't really need to introduce him. Y'all know who the hell he is already, but it's just tickled me how much me and him have grown in the past 5 years. And I was a fan before. I'm a fan now. Everybody give a big hell yeah to Mr. Catfish Cooley.
What the hell are y'all doing, fuckers? Good to be on here, brother. Thank you for having me.
Man, this is one of those like surreal moments for me. I mean, we've met before, but it's like coming full circle. Like,
oh, hell yeah, brother.
Thanks to realize like I used to just the shit we used to do. And now it's like, oh man, we're getting to do our own shit and doing it the way we want to. And I'm just happy as hell for you, man.
I'm proud of you too, brother. And I know exactly what you're talking about. You see so many people just kind of have a little bit of, you know, rise and you think that they're going to be around and then something happens and they just fall off. So damn proud to see you here. Damn proud to see your podcast doing good, brother.
Thank you, man. Well, I think with people like me and you, we're not one trick ponies. There's a whole lot of people on social media. They can do one thing real well.
But most definitely.
When that fizzles out, they don't know the next thing to go to. Me and you have adapted.
The wonderful thing about us is I know myself for sure. I'm pretty good at a whole lot of shit, but I'm not great at anything.
I don't know.
And I'm okay with that, you know?
You're great at making people laugh, but you found 100,000 different ways to make people laugh, you know?
Most definitely, brother. And that's, you know, social media is a constantly changing machine, man. And if you don't learn how to play the game and, you know, adapt with it, you'll fall out for sure. So you're constantly having to watch, you know, the videos, how they're filmed, how they, you know, like now, whenever you do like Facebook videos, used to I could just do like a big long intro and people would play into it. Now, like you gotta, as soon as you start a video, you gotta have shit fucking popping, man, right off the bat, or people lose interest and they'll forget about you, you know?
That attention span goes out the window.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like. And I'm the same way, you know? It's not just them, it's me too, you know?
Yeah. No, well, dude, you've done so much shit. Like I've seen you were on Tosh, right?
In 2017, brother.
Let me tell you, that guy to me is one of the funniest people. I love his sense of humor. And when I got to see somebody that I had met before and been around on his show, tickled the shit out of me, man.
Oh, dude. And I loved getting to meet him. He was exactly how you would want him to be.
Really?
You know, you're always scared to meet somebody that you're, you know, really into.
Yeah.
But man, he was the coolest fucking guy. He was down to earth. He was awesome. And whenever me and the wife got there, he told me right off the bat, he was like, look, man, he was like, I got to roast you. That's what this show is. He's like, but I'm going to take it easy on you. He said, because one day you're going to be somebody. He's like, keep doing what you're doing. He's like, I know you're going to do it. I was like, man, that was cool. And it gave me fucking more confidence than he ever could have imagined he did.
Well,
you know, I'd like to link up with him one day and, you know, repay him the thanks for that, you know?
Well, I'll tell you something that you just said. I have to tell people, and I didn't tell you before you got on the show, but it's because you're a professional. You know how this shit goes.
Oh, yeah.
Is that roasting aspect or being able to have banter back and forth, talk shit to each other back and forth, it is so important. And you have to be able to do it with people who do not get butt hurt, who realize that it's part of entertaining people. I don't care what the fuck you say about me, because I'm cool with it. Like, but I also know that if you say something talking shit to me, it's coming from a very good place, a positive place. It's not two people picking on one another. It's it's two boys hanging out just talking trash.
Oh, yeah. That's what, whenever people meet me, you know, in real life, they're like, holy fuck. You know, you're not just this wild, crazy guy drinking whiskey and eating hot peppers and shit all the time. I'm like, nah, you know, like, I am that guy 110%, but you can't be turned up to 10 all the fucking time.
Man. Thank you. You can't. There's people, you're way nicer of a guy than I am. I come off like an asshole a lot, and I'm fine with coming off like an asshole because
I
put too, like, when I'm doing my job, I put everything that I have into it all the time. And I know that you've had to be
more,
around this.
More so than other people know.
Yeah. Like, you're always working. Like, it does not matter what time of day, bed, or just getting up. You're working in your head trying to figure out the next thing to improve, to get better.
Oh, yeah.
And when I turn that off and that dial ain't turned up to 10, and, like, you come up and expecting me to just be the funniest guy. Now, I'll have a conversation. I'll shake your hand. I'll be your buddy. But I cannot, like, there's been times that people have walked away and, like, he's not that funny. He's kind of an asshole. Yeah. And it's like,
I love when people, like, there'll be a crowd of people taking pictures with me in Walmart or the gas station or wherever. And there's always that one guy. And he's like, you know, who is this? And you're like, he's a comedian. It never fails. They always say, well, tell me a joke, you know? And I have one go-to joke. I always do. And I'm going to see if you know it. What happened to the man that couldn't come?
Tell everybody.
They had to go get that motherfucker. It's the corniest joke I've ever heard. So that's always my go-to.
See,
but it tickles me, you know, being an entertainer or comedian. Yeah. You know, if you met somebody that was a roofer, you wouldn't be like, hey, go change them fucking shingles on that house. I can see if you're worth the fuck or not, you know?
See, with me, I've got kind of the same thing, but it's a little darker than yours. But so, like, a huge part of my fan base is African Americans, and I love them. I always say all the time how I'm invited to the barbecue. I wear Jordans. I dress the way I want to. I wear a lot of throwback jerseys and shit. And they
look good.
They eat me up though, because they're like, that honky son of a bitch. Like, but he, you know, he's part of, like,
that motherfucker's dressed up looking good, son.
Well, I grew up playing football, and some of my best friends in this world and some of the best lessons I've learned had come from people that was not Caucasian skin color. So I relate to them. But it's always black folk when I go to, like, the bars or whatever, they'll come up and they'll same thing. See me talking to some people, like, who the fuck are you? I'll tell them this. I was like, hey, look, I can, because I go to a lot of rap bars, and I'm like, hey, you know what, dude? I'm 1/8 African American. I can say I can say whatever I want to. And they're like, 1/8. Yes. They automatically think you're talking about your undercarriage. And I'm like, no. And I'm like, bro, my credit score. And as soon as I say it to them, that laugh that black folks do, that you know that they are having the time of their life. I've never had anybody took it the wrong way. Never.
Oh, no.
And they love it. But that's what I always do.
You feed off of positive energy. You can say you're an asshole or whatever, but you're just a fucking ball of positivity, and people see that, brother.
Yeah. There's only a few people that I've met off of social media, and I'm not going to say any of their names, that they put one thing out into the world on social media, but then you get around them and they're fucking miserable. They're just mad at life. They're miserable. I don't want to be that guy.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I felt like, in a way, I was getting to be that guy in my own sense with drinking. And, dude, I drank hard for 15 fucking years. I started drinking, like, real drinking when I was 15 years old. And I drank plumb up till, actually, the 14th of this month, made 1 year I've been sober.
Congratulations. But,
dude, you feel like you have to do, thank you, brother, but you feel like you have to do what people think that you have to do.
Yep.
And you forget that it's okay to be a real motherfucker and live life the way you want to, you know?
Well, I learned like right before I went into radio that what you just said is just so important. I still drink, but I was like overdoing it because I thought when I would go somewhere, that's what people wanted to see me. They wanted to see me take 15 damn Jaeger bombs.
How many fucking beers I've chugged in Walmart with random people?
Yeah, like it's crazy. But I figured out something, and it was people started following me for being an individual. And the second I started taking their opinion too much, like what I was doing, then I was being who they wanted me to be, and that wasn't the person they started following me for. So I had to like retrain myself a little bit.
I feel you on that, man. I've got where, you know, I'll get on social media, I'll respond back, I'll post my stuff, I'll, you know, look at some comments. But as far as just watching for hours and hours, like I felt like I used to have to do to stay relevant, stay all this shit, I quit. And whenever you quit watching what everybody else is doing, you remember how you got into this shit, why you got into this shit, your own individuality, and you get to become you again. And this last 3 months of my life has been nothing but that, brother.
Man,
I feel like I'm finally on track to where I need to be at.
Well, I'm proud of you, dude.
Thank you, brother.
I know one thing, that Joe Rogan is like GOAT to me. Joe Rogan is like, I bought microphones that he used. I bought swing arms that he used. Everything that Joe put out there.
Joe Rogan, if you'll let us come on your podcast, I'm pretty sure you got 2 blowjobs waiting for you, brother.
I say all the time, I don't do coke, but I will snort a line off his dick if he lets me.
You damn right, son.
I will hit a bump
all day.
I've
never done it neither, but I'll do an 8-ball off Joe Rogan's nutsack right now.
It's just, my thing with him is he's got the ability to be funny. He's got the ability to be intelligent, sincere. That's what I go through with like
You know
my
what
show.
I respect about him the very most is the greatest quality I possess now, and I didn't always used to be this way. But whenever I went through my first divorce, my Uncle James gave me the best piece of advice he ever gave me. He asked me, I was stuck living in Southeast Texas in a camper. I'd lost my house. I was originally from Louisiana. And he asked me, he said, when you moving back home? And I was like, as soon as I get enough money. And he was like, why? And I'm like, that's where I'm from. He was like, picking Louisiana is a good place to be from, son. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, it's a good place to be from. He's like, stay in Texas, start over. He said, take everything your mom and dad taught you. Take everything you think you know about politics. Take everything you think you know about religion. He said, wad it up in a ball. Wipe your fucking ass with it. Throw it in the trash. Study the shit yourself. Figure out who the fuck you are and come up with your own opinions in life.
Absolutely.
And dude, that is whenever Catfish Cooley was created. And it has opened up so many fucking doors for me, man.
I'm the same way, man. I grew up South Baptist or Southern Baptist, and there's a whole lot of things that I didn't agree with. And but I thought like, oh, I can't go against the grain with this, or like political. I'm a conservative, but I've got a lot of liberal tendencies. There's a lot of things that I'm all about people just being happy. I want people to just be happy. As long as your happiness doesn't ruin my life, then I don't give a fuck. Do whatever
you know
you're
how many
do.
You know, we say that, and you and I truly mean it. You know how many people get fucking mad just because they see somebody else is happy?
Yeah.
Like, it's mind-blowing. Like, they're pissed off at you because you can do what you want to do and live outside of the fucking bubble of the realm of the, you know, normal life, you know?
Well, normality. Me and you don't live in normality to what everybody else thinks is normal.
This is
normal for us.
We have people in our own families, I know you do too, that legit get fucking mad that we don't got to wake up and go to a plant every morning.
Bro.
Wake up and go out to the logging woods every morning. I'm like, motherfucker, I did that almost 10 goddamn years. I stayed with the same company.
My granddaddy and my uncle are two of my favorite people alive. My granddaddy is my hero, all the stuff he's doing. But he does not to this day understand what I do, why I do it, how I'm getting a paycheck. He don't get it. Like, there's been times he's like, hey, why don't you come down here and work for the county with me? No. Well, I don't have to.
They can't fathom what the fuck we're doing. No. It's like a real career path, you know?
I mean,
and I think if more people would open up you know, their minds that you don't have to graduate school and, you know, go straight to college. Or, and I'm not saying don't do that
by
any means, but you don't have to do the normal shit, you know?
Well, the people that are doing the normal shit, though, is what you see now that are just we were not created by God, or if you don't believe in God, the universe. We were not created to work a 9-to-5 job and just pay bills. That is not what life is about. It is about finding happiness. It's about making other people happy. It's about
accomplishing tiny goals constantly.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Like, I don't give a fuck if I have to go sit down with my 5-year-old daughter and color a coloring page out of a coloring book every day. There, I have to accomplish one thing every day in order to feel like I'm progressing.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you don't ever want to fall back into the rut you were before what you are now.
That is the scariest thing to me.
I don't know about you. The scariest thing to me in the past 5 years and why I have pushed myself so hard is because I don't want to go back to working drywall. I don't want to go back to working for my daddy.
Hey, so I did a bunch of sheetrock too. My dad did sheetrock. No shit.
Yeah, that's
fucking cool, brother.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, I don't want to go back. If you've done it, then you know how fucking shitty. The people that do it and you build these beautiful homes, you are a hardworking son of a bitch. And you probably don't get the credit you deserve. But hanging sheetrock is a bitch.
It's a motherfucker, son. It's goddamn hard work, get it now.
The worst part about it is the sanding.
Oh, yeah. And the stomping and dragging.
I don't want no part of it, man. I'll tell you one thing about, and I knew that like me and you were going to have a good conversation here, but I told you on the phone, but I want everybody else to know it. You are one of the few people that every time your name is brought up and anybody that we have a mutual friend with, I've done a show with, no one has ever said a bad word about, nobody has done nothing but compliment you to the fucking moon and back, dude.
I appreciate that. And I think it goes both ways. I hate drama more than anybody could ever imagine in this world. I do not put up with it anyway. And I don't try to do anything to get myself involved in it, you know?
Well, you shouldn't. I mean, but you've never, like, the stuff that you post, there's not really a whole lot of controversial. I like the fact you and Ginger Billy, that's my fucking guy. Like, I like that. He raved about you.
That is my brother from another mother.
I'm going to do my damnedest. I'm telling you up front. So if you talk about it, you put it out in the world and maybe it happens, right? September the 10th is my birthday. I want to have you two on for Zoom call, or I'll pay for you flights, whatever, out here to the studio. Like,
I guarantee you, he would be down as well.
That's what I want. Three gingers talking the most shit. That's what I want. That's what I want the 1-year anniversary of the show to be.
That would be badass. And dude, the fact about Ginger, he's such a sweet guy. He's a humble guy. He's fucking smart. He's comical, but he's one of the most considerate, caring motherfuckers on the face of this earth. And what a lot of people don't realize about him is he's fucking smart.
Yeah. You can tell. With people like us, you have to, I don't want to say downplay your intelligence, but your intelligence shines through if you know what you're looking for.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, I can go look at your videos or I can look at Billy's videos, and I'm like, I know exactly how he did this. I know exactly why he did this. He is so damn smart. He knows what he's doing. And, like, people just don't realize that.
Like, once you do this long enough, you know what you say or do. You know how people's going to react before it's ever even posted, you know?
Yeah. The only thing that – I don't get is like the TikTok algorithms and stuff and the way that some things blow up and some things don't. And I don't get it. I don't understand it.
I have a TikTok. I think I got 5 or 6 videos on there and everybody keeps hammering me. They're like, dude, you got to do TikTok. You got to do TikTok. I'm like, motherfucker. I feel like I'm still figuring Facebook out alone. Yeah. You know,
I will tell you this. That is where the money's at. I mean, that's the only thing is like, people, but you know what it's like when that Facebook blew up. That's when folks with the longer videos blew up, and then Snapchat came around. Snapchat was the thing then, and people that did certain things on Snapchat blew up. Well, same thing with TikTok. Except, I'm not doing those stupid fucking dances.
If I show up for your birthday, we'll all three have to do one together, fucker.
Well, good God. That'll be the worst, whitest shit ever. Good God. But you know what? We three of us do a parody of Magic Mike.
Oh, dude.
Oh, man.
There's
not a woman in this world that's not going to be turned off.
Oh, God. Yeah, turned off, huh? Yeah, the only way they get wet is if you throw water on them.
No,
God.
Shit. Goodness gracious.
Ginger's going to be there. He can pull us through it.
Look, he's just built.
He's sexy as fuck.
I fucking hate him. Like, no ginger is supposed to fucking look like that.
Oh, and dude, what is even worse? You'll talk to him like, hey, I'm headed to the gym. He'd be like, man, I've been busy. I ain't got to go to the gym in 3 months. I'm like, you motherfucker.
It's like, where did those traps come from, my guy? Like, there's no way he's eating that clean. He's working out. He just ain't going to tell nobody. He wants that to be the natural ginger body.
He can eat whatever he wants and still look good. He's a beast, man.
Dude, how tall is he?
I'm 5. Right at 5'10". I don't know. He's probably about 5'8", 5'9". He's close to my height.
We're all the same size. I'm 5'9", 5'10".
Yeah, I'm right in between 5'9" and a half, 5'10". I always say 5'10" because it makes me feel better.
Well, I piss women off at the bar all the time because I wear nothing but cowboy boots and blue jeans, my Wranglers when I go out. And I'm a single man, you know, try to have some fun. But go out, take them cowboy boots off when they get back to the house, and they're like, where the fuck some of the 3 inches at? And
yeah, I went home with a fucking hobbit. You know?
Yeah, there you go. I'm like, look, if you're complaining about the inches I've already lost when I took my boots off, you're really fixing to be pissed in a few minutes. What you thought?
That
you were
ain't no joke, my God. Hey, I'd rather giggle them to death than choke them to death, by God.
You ain't, dude. I don't have an option. I've got to giggle them to death.
Hey, we got personalities and we eat pussy better than anybody, so it comes with its own gifts, doesn't it?
I'm the Jeffrey Dahmer of crotch eating. But dude, I want to, like, I've got to plan something, whether it's my birthday or whatever. I've got to plan something for folks like us to get together. Like,
dude, I think it'd be cool. People would get a kick out of it for sure. Yeah. Now,
well, I don't want, like, I haven't ever done the stand-up comedy. You and Billy kill it. I think, like, me just emceeing and booking both of y'all to come do stand-up, you're getting into music. Billy, we could put together something really, really cool. There's like these groups going down. I don't know if you see them now, and I've had them on my show, and I think it's cool what they're doing, but I really don't get it at the same time. It's where like they're going and they're doing stand-up, they're dancing. It's all the stuff from TikTok and everything, right? And the guys that are doing it, they're selling out bars.
Wow. Like,
but I just don't understand it. You know, like the dancing, they're funny. I've had, like I said, I'm not knocking none of y'all because I know y'all listen to this damn show.
So they're like going to bars and they're doing the dances and stuff like at the bars?
Yeah, and like they're doing like
good for them, by God, you know? I'm telling you, we live in a wonderful time and it kills me. People's talking about, I wish things is like it used to be or blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you don't realize we're living at the greatest fucking time of humanity ever. If you wanted to be a professional fork juggler, if you got good at juggling forks, record that shit, make a YouTube channel. You'll get fucking paid to juggle forks on the internet, man.
I agree and disagree with you. I hate how soft people are and they're not. And
they've always been that way, brother.
I guess now they got more of an outlet for it, though.
The only way for the human brain to cope with life and keep fucking moving forward, whenever we do, you know, you look back on life, our brain physically fucking makes us forget the bad times.
Yeah.
And we remember the good times. So you'll think and you're like, oh, man, you know, my first wife left me. You know, in my mind, I'm like, what's the matter? We had a perfect marriage and I can't understand where it went wrong and stuff. And then when you sit down and really think, you're like, man, we never fucking got along. Why did we get married in the first place? You know, thank God for the kids we had together. But we knew that shit wasn't going to work, you know.
I know. You're right. You're right. And
I'm telling you.
But with the way everything is now, man, it's where people, like you said, you have a way to put what you're passionate out into the world now, like never, ever before.
Oh,
and you can get notoriety for literally the dumbest shit.
Most definitely. And I tell you, if people would really use the social media for the way it was truly intended, you wouldn't get on there and see shit that you didn't like. It wouldn't piss you off. People are so happy to be pissed off now that they don't even know that they are. They'll scroll right past the feed that they like. They'll scroll right past the video that makes them laugh. They'll scroll right past something that moves them and make them happy. And they'll see one comment or one post that pisses them off. They're going to put a mad face on it. They're going to type in it and tell somebody they're a stupid motherfucker. So you do that, you know, as well as I do, all this shit works off an algorithm.
Yeah.
So instead of them seeing stuff that makes them happy, they're seeing the shit that they're commenting on that pisses them off. So you do that for 2 or 3 months. You ain't going to be nothing but pissed off all the time, but you're going to be happy about being pissed off.
You know what I did? I stopped reading comments. And I stopped.
Oh, they'll fuck you. They'll fuck you up, won't they?
Yeah, I stopped. Yeah, it's fucking stupid. It's like, first off, me and you both, we're not the fucking prize pig at the county fair. You know what I'm saying?
Hell no.
We're not fucking first, second, third place. We might not even get a fucking medal. But we're confident in ourselves. So the stuff that we post for us. And we post for people that like us and want to hear from us.
Yes, sir.
Stop looking at the good stuff. And I, what you just said, I was reading those 2 or 3 bad comments and not the fucking 100 good ones.
Dude, it bothers you bad when you do that.
And then I was like, you know what? I don't know these people. I don't know their issue. I don't know if they're just having a bad day. I don't know if they've had a bad life. Like, but it really shouldn't affect me. Like, what? I had to leave that shit alone. I had to, I backed off of it. You know what I did? In the election last year, that's when I backed off of it. I quit.
I
quit reading stuff in about January around Inauguration Day because I was like, you know what? This is never, ever. I just can't handle it no more. Like, I cannot handle the ignorance and stupidity of people and how they want to bring each other down when we ought to be lifting each other up.
Dude, you can go through in them comments when people's talking shit to you 99% of the time. I'll do it a lot. Like, they'll be like, you fucking suck now. Your career is over. Go die, you loser. I'll comment. I'm like, love you too, fucker. Hope you have a good day. And they'll message like personally. And they'll be like, holy fucking shit, dude. I didn't think you was going to reply. You're awesome. Like, they know that that's going to get a reaction out of them.
And I don't want to give it to them.
Yeah.
I'm an asshole. I don't want to. If you don't have anything nice to say, the only thing that I will look and try to pay attention to the people that help me with social media and everything is I'm big on mental health awareness because I've survived a suicide attempt and everything when I was younger. And if anybody ever sends me a message talking about how we've had somebody on the show or just my story or whatever has helped them, I will do my best to reach out and talk to them. But but anything else, I kind of just leave it alone for good or bad.
Oh, hell yeah. And it's cool to be able to do stuff to help people get through that too, you know? Like me and you was talking about earlier, we both created our characters out of necessity. We fucking had to do something to pull our own selves through shit. And I know me, whenever I made other people happy, in turn, it made myself happy. And I'm a very big people person. I'm a people pleaser. I love to, you know, make people feel good. And at the end of the day, if I can make one person watch my video and be like, I'm happy to be my fucking self. You know, that's all I want people to get out of my videos. Be proud to be you and do what you want. And who gives a fuck what anybody else thinks?
Yeah, I couldn't have said it no fucking better. I mean, that's exactly it. Is Catfish Cooley came because you were heartbroken. Bearded Bastard came because I was heartbroken. But it was also like, I'm forever grateful for Bearded Bastard.
Because
it was the outlet that I needed to heal myself.
And what did you try to take your own life over? Was it a bad divorce or a breakup?
No. I was growing up, I had depression and anxiety, never knew it. I always used to struggle, even though I was a very good athlete growing up and a whole lot of other stuff. Like, I just, there was something always off with me. There was something that I just could never figure out. I'd walk into a room full of people and I would think, like in high school, everybody in here is bad mouthing me. They're all talking about me. And in reality, none of them gave a fuck probably about me.
And it drove you fucking mad. Huh?
It did. Like it kept thinking that every time a woman came into my life, I tried to take my life when I was, this would have been 11 years. 2021 is 11 years. So I'll be 34 this year. So I was 22. So, like, it was because a girl broke up with me, and then, I called her and her phone picked up in her pocket while she's getting railed by some guy. Literally, I had to hear this girl who I was telling I love you a day before getting railed by this dude. And it fucked me
up. Yeah. And that's what I tell people, you know, whenever I went through my divorce, that's when I got at my lowest point. And I kept the knife. Like, I was drunk one night, and I remember I got this gigantic-ass Bowie case knife, you know? And I remember I was standing in my bathroom holding it, and I thought about killing myself. And whenever I did, it disgusted me. I was like, man, I got family. I got friends. I got kids that need me. I was like, grow the fuck up. Grab your balls and get a hold of yourself, man. And it wasn't but a couple weeks after that, I remember how pissed off I got a random dude at work. I heard him having a conversation, and he was talking about how PTSD is just a free fucking check every month. I come unglued. I was like, motherfucker. I was like, go home and catch your wife having a gangbang with all your best friends right now. I said, it's going to demoralize you and fucking eat at you, and you're going to want to kill yourself. Yeah. I was like, and that ain't a thimble of a fucking hair on a nutsack from what these men and women go through with PTSD that go and serve our country. And you want to sit back and talk shit on them? Like, I legit got mad, man.
You should. We work with Mission 22 here in Georgia. Shout out to Mr. Ken and Renee and all of y'all. And Kurt, if I wouldn't have said Kurt, saying he'd have beat my ass. God, I about fucked up bad there. We work with them, and you just get to see. Like, I don't publicize a lot of it, and I know you probably are the same way about certain sensitive subjects. I just like helping.
I like to keep people's personal life personal. If I help them or not, you know.
But anybody that doesn't believe PTSD is a real fucking thing. We have took some guys with us to some events, and halfway through the event, they're like, "Hey, we got to go. Like, we appreciate you inviting us. There's too many people here. I'm scared to death."
Right.
And I'm like, "We got you. But if you need to go, that's fine. I understand."
Hell yeah.
But he's like, "You can't explain it. I don't have PTSD from mine, honestly, dude. My suicide attempt was the best and worst thing that has ever happened to me. I got a whole different understanding of life afterwards. And my faith in God got stronger. Actually, my daughter's name is Grace. Her name is Gracie. I named her My Saving Grace. That's like my tattoo right here is My Saving Grace. Nine to 10 months after my suicide attempt is when she was born. Like, we didn't even know when I decided I was not going to let my depression and anxiety control my life. God gave me a gift less than a year later. He's like, "Hey, look, this is your reason every single day. If you're having
awesome
a bad
is
day.
It though? How awesome is it that by the time she got here, you had already hit bottom. You had already broke down. So she didn't have to experience that negative side of it.
Dude, I would have never wanted her to see me like that.
I'm telling you, so many people are scared to fail and scared to try. I tell people failing is the best fucking thing you can do. It'll either one, show you that you're not as into something as much as you thought you was, or you're even way more into it than you thought you was. You're going to get up, you're going to dust off, you're going to fucking get in there, you're going to work, you're going to grind, and you're going to get that shit.
Well, I don't think, I hate the word failure, because I think that what should have been replaced with the word failure a long time ago was a learning experience.
You
just did something wrong. You didn't fail, but you learned how to do it right afterwards.
Yeah.
Like, you have to, you know, the story between, was it the 409 bottle, the chemical spray, that like the cleaning spray?
I know what you're talking about.
You know why it's called 409?
No idea.
Because they messed the recipe up 408 times before they got it the way they wanted it. So
see there?
They named it 409. And they fucked up so many times, but when they got it right, they were happy with it. And now it's everybody's
that's
got fucking 409.
Cool.
So, I mean, nobody ever remembers, I'll put it in perspective for folks. How many times do you have to stop recording a video and start over again?
Oh, God. I'm pretty good on that aspect as far as the comedy, because I actually do have I'm weird. Like, whenever I turn myself on, fucking go. And whenever I'm going through an edit and shit, I'm like, how the fuck did I come up with that?
Yeah.
It's like a unnatural fucking canny gift that I got. But this music that I'm dabbling in, like, you'll have something sounding so good in your head and you're writing it down, And then you'll get in a booth and you'll lay it down and you'll listen to it. And you're like, the fuck is that stupid shit? You know?
Yeah. See, I'm the, that's what I mean though. Like, nobody ever gets to see the rough drafts in our life. All they ever see is the final product. They don't realize how fucked up the rough drafts are.
Oh, dude. I'm telling you, my entire life's been built off reattempts, as you say, you know?
Yeah. We just been lucky. Like, and that's, there's been a lot of people that haven't been in our shoes. And
yeah,
especially yours. Your platform's way bigger than mine. You bust way more ass than I do.
But I tell everybody, we all have a gut feeling. I listen to that motherfucker about everything.
Yeah.
Like, I was drunk as, like, I'm sober now. Well, I don't drink anymore. I'll get high as fucking Tommy Chong around this bitch.
Yeah, that a boy.
But, dude, like, if I hadn't listened to my, I think I had 400,000 followers altogether on all platforms back in 2017 when I quit my job. And I'll never regret drinking, because drinking gave me the confidence that I didn't have in myself at the time. But I was drunk as fuck one night, and I just moved into this house I'm in now. I've been in it less than a month, and just recently got married, had a brand new baby, and
congratulations.
Thank you, brother. I was watching Steve Harvey on my cell phone, and he was talking about, and I'd been telling my wife, I was like, I feel like I need to do something, and I had a company that was trying to hire me to go full-time with them and quit contracting doing the millwright shit. And I was like, no, thank you. And they're like, dude, it's $38 an hour. Where are you going to find this opportunity again? And I was like, if I take that good fucking job, I'm going to give up on my dreams and I'm not going to do anything. And they're like, what are you going to do? And I'm like, man, these videos, I feel something with it. And they're like, ah, you're fucking off. You're making yourself look like an asshole. And that night I was watching Steve Harvey, and he said that the reason people never become successful is they never jump. And if you never jump, how in the fuck are you gonna fly? And I like felt something in me, and I was like, I'm about to quit my fucking job. I called my boss at like 1 o'clock in the morning, and he was like, hey, what the fuck's everything okay? And I was like, how much vacation time do I have left? And he was like, you don't have any vacation time left. You took it all doing this stupid shit you've been doing. And I was like, oh yeah. I was like, hey, if I quit, would y'all hire me back if it fails? And he was like, do what? And I was like, I think I want to quit my job. And he was like, what are you going to do? I said, I have no fucking idea. And he was like, yeah. And I quit my job. I told my wife the next morning. She's a fucking trooper. She didn't bitch. She didn't get mad. She told me, she's like, we got a little bit of money in the bank. If you feel it, go with it. I'll be right here. And, dude, I have ate a lot of fucking ramen noodles. And I'm sold every damn thing I've ever had. But it feels good that I never had to make that phone call and say, dude, I fucking failed, you know?
Hey, look, that one thing that I actually live by, nothing extraordinary ever happened to anybody staying in their comfort zone.
Oh, yeah. And nothing extraordinary has ever happened from a normal motherfucker. Yeah. So it's okay to be weird, be different, you know? Go out there and find something you enjoy and excel at that shit, man.
That's my problem with a lot of shit right now. Like, I'm trying to make up my mind, as crazy as it's about to sound, I'm probably fixing to run for mayor in my small ass town. I'm like seriously thinking about it, because there's a teacher and this family that I absolutely love that I grew up with. And me and them were having a discussion probably about a month ago. And growing up, when we're in school, we're taught all the things that we do need to know. There's some shit that I don't think we need to know. But, like, I put all my focus on being an athlete. Yeah. I am 5'10 on a good day when my fucking back ain't hurting.
Like, why come nobody told you, hey, instead of ruining your fucking body, you're probably not going to make it to the NFL, son.
Well, here's the deal. Like, when I was in middle school, I got a poem published in Young Poets of America. There should have been somebody right then that reached out to me and said, hey, you might be good at this if you put time and effort into it. And writing poetry turns into writing music.
Dude, it's so fucking weird how much we have in common.
But the reason I stopped doing it, because when the school announced, hey, Josh Terry's got a young poet, the baseball players, all my friends, gave me shit and picked on me about it, because they're like, oh, that's gay.
You know, made you self-conscious about it.
It did. So I didn't work for it.
But well, then, I tell people all the time, like, look at Metallica. Do you think that they was the cool fucking kids in school? They was in band and shit, probably, and they was getting picked on. And now anybody out there wants to suck their dicks because they stayed true to their fucking self, man.
That's what I feel like. There needs to be some type of program in schools that it helps kids realize, especially in the world we live in now, that your talent might not be anything that makes you cool right now in fucking high school or middle school.
Yeah.
But when you get out, there are my friends that if you look back at them that are from Nashville now, they were picked on and belittled or whatever when people said, oh, you want to be a musician? That's stupid. Now yeah. they're making bank and they're living in Nashville and they're having the time of their fucking life. They're happy.
I've always wrote poems, absolutely love poems, and I felt weird about that shit as a kid. Like, I had a book that I kept, and when I was about 12 years old, my dad walked in. He's like, what are you doing? I was like, drawing. He's like, let me see. And he took my book, and I remember thinking, he's going to think I'm a fucking pussy. He's going to think I'm a weirdo.
Yeah.
And he started reading my poems. He was like, hold on. He went to his room, and he come back with two notebooks fucking full of poems.
Yep.
And I was like, you write poems too? He's like, I always have. I think it's really cool that you do. And man, I never, ever dreamed that it would turn into music. And like, whenever I first started, when I met you, I was managed by Daphne. She did the Daphne, had the 180 Talent Group.
She's been at the studio. I like that.
Dude, they're amazing fucking people. And I remember going to all these concerts and shit and listening to all these country rappers. And like inside my mind, I was like, motherfucker, you can do this. But I was so scared to try because I was like, all right, I'm already doing the comedy thing. If I start doing the music, I'm either going to have to, one, make it just funny songs or it ain't going to work. Because if I try to do what I want to, people's going to laugh at me and say I fucking suck. And now I'm just like to the point, I'm like, I don't give a fuck. I'm enjoying being me. If it makes millions of dollars, fucking good. If it don't make but 10 people happy and I get to go perform in front of 10 people, I'm fucking cool with that too. I'm doing this for me, man.
I'll tell you something very funny that got told to me. I got a buddy, his name's Nate Kenyon, and he used to play for the Lax a lot. Like, he's in several of their songs. It's blew up.
Yeah.
But so I went to a concert with him one time. I don't do the country rap. It's just not for me. Yeah. And the big guy from the Lax, he came up to me and like, we're sitting there talking and bullshit. I'm having a beer with him. And so he was like, what did you think of the show? And I was like, dude, I'll be honest with you. The country rap stuff, it's not for me. I just don't get it. But you just made a shit ton of people out there happy.
And you're
killing it. Like, I'm happy for you. Like, I'm not knocking anybody's hustle. It's just that doesn't fit for me. And he told me something and I'll remember it till the day I die. He said, if I could sing, I'd sing. This is my way of getting my message out into the world. And
That's cool, man.
I have the utmost respect for any musician. Like, there's only a few that I don't like, but yeah. I've been around them and they've rubbed me the wrong way. I'm all about how you treat people.
Oh, yeah.
I don't care if you're the worst fucking talented person ever. But if you're good to folks and you're nice to me, I'm going to be nice to you. I'm going to gas you.
Yeah.
I'm going to gas you up as far as telling you, hey, go do your thing.
Like, yeah.
But, you know, I respect it. And you used to write poetry. So it just makes sense that you would want to. I want to write country music so bad. But my friends are like so good at it that me starting off, I have to start off on a baby level.
Hey, we all got to crawl before we walk, baby.
Yeah.
That's a fact, brother.
I like that. I like that you're doing that now. I like that you keep progressing.
I cannot fucking wait for y'all to hear the shit that me and my buddy was in. The alcohol started this shit for me, too. So I will forever love alcohol, even though I don't drink no more. Yeah. I don't give a – I keep fucking beer here in the studio for all my friends. I got bottles of moonshine. Like, I can be around it. It doesn't bother me. And I'll forever love it because it's like I didn't feel comfortable going into this shit by myself for some reason. I don't know why. And I think it's because me and my buddy Joe Dyson, we used to get fucking drunk and hammered. And we would go to YouTube and just put beats to rap to. And we would freestyle the fuck out of that shit. And then one day I was like, why don't we fucking start recording this shit and actually writing lyrics instead of just getting drunk, belligerent? And we've made some really cool fucking shit. We've made some stuff that like hits home. We've made some shit that's funny. We've made some shit that'll make you want to fight a motherfucker. Like, I'm proud of this, and I can't wait for everybody to hear it. And I'm proud that my success with comedy has opened some doors. And now I have Joe, he's working with me and for me. And I got Brendan, I got employees and shit now. My wife, she does the OnlyFans shit. She absolutely fucking is killing it. She's got two employees that work for her and help her manage stuff. And it's absolutely fucking insane how far you can go whenever you believe in yourself, no matter if anybody else does or not.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Yeah, I think there's something special like about folks like you and me that have just decided we're doing this our way. This is our life. Oh, nobody's going to tell me how to live my life. You know, some people, we've had girls on here that does the OnlyFans stuff. And yeah. I tell everybody the same thing when it comes to that. If you can make life-changing money, you're never, ever going to regret it. You're never going to regret it. Now, it's those people that want to do it that's going to make $300 in 6 months. You got to remember your assholes out there for the rest of the world to see.
That ain't no shit.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, we had me and the wife both, we love, you know, nudity. We love porn and all this shit. And she first started filming and stuff. We had piles of shit already filmed just for us, me and her.
Yeah.
And she told me one day, she was like, I've been wondering about that OnlyFans stuff. And I was like, well, fuck, I don't care. Hell yeah. You supported me. I'm going to support you, you know? And fuck, we have had so much fun with it. It's gave her more confidence than I could have ever dreamed. And it's weird to me that we live in a time where we've accepted, you know, gay, we've accepted transgender, we've accepted all these things that are norms now. And I'm fucking in love with that. You know, I've always preached be yourself. And, you know, I believe people are who they are. But it's crazy to me that if you got two straight people that enjoy fucking, they're like, oh, my God, burn them at the fucking cross. Yeah. They sell their titties for $1, you know?
Hey, look,
entertainment is entertainment. It doesn't matter if you got pants on or not, goddammit.
Yeah. I mean, you go to movies. You know, that's what people don't get. Like, there's been several movies that I can sit here and say that I watched, and I can't tell you the names of the players, but I remember the sex scenes from it.
Like, damn right.
You know, so like the movie 300. 300 was one of the most badass movies ever. But hell, when I think about it, I think about the bitch getting kicked in the well, and then
smoked in that fucking well.
But then I think about him and his wife, and they're railing, and it's like, you know what? That's kind of my favorite scene from that movie.
Most definitely.
Okay. Yeah. But sexuality is.
Well, it's either that one scene with titties or the rest of the dudes in panties the rest of the movie. Exactly. So I'm going to go with that scene with you, brother.
Me too.
Hell yeah.
I mean, the number one selling tool since the beginning of time has been sex. I don't care.
Most definitely.
You can't knock guys like me and you.
Hey, people's been fucking since the beginning of time. By God.
When you got fucking massive companies like Hardee's, who a couple years ago had the girl in the bathing suit that was just smoking, and she's eating a fucking cheeseburger. What did that hot, almost
they
naked bitch have? No, they knew what they were doing.
Oh, yeah.
So if it's okay for them, why isn't it okay for folks like us?
No, most definitely. And, dude, I love that. You know, I love reading the comments on that shit whenever I help promote her. Like, it's amazing the amount of positivity that you do get. But then you get them people on there that hadn't got no pussy in 6 years.
Oh, you can tell them just, motherfuckers when they come out.
Oh, dude, it drives them. They're like, oh, my God, you should respect your wife. I'm like, motherfucker, we're living in 2021, not 1962. People fuck. We enjoy it. My wife gets more pussy than you do. Get the fuck over it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, but to each their own. Like, if it makes you and your old lady happy, who gives a fuck?
Exactly. And that's in every aspect, you know? Anybody with anything, you know, find something you enjoy, capitalize on it, live the life that you want to live, man.
I mean, you can't help it when those endorphins in your brain are going off and it's saying you're happy. It doesn't matter what you might, from y'all doing that, might be the same pleasures I get from going to play golf.
Very true.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't define somebody else's happiness.
Very true. And I think more people need to just do something. Like you said, play golf. Like, so many people get caught up in waking up, going to work, coming home, and that's it. Yeah, like, do something. I'm 31 years old. I started skateboarding with my kids. I weighed 313 pounds. I'm down to like 272 pounds now. I fucking bought a BMX bike the other day. I'll get out there and play with my boys. We've been fucking doing shit that I'm not comfortable doing.
Yeah.
But it's so fun, man. And I love getting good at shit. I love forcing myself to learn new things, no matter what it is, you know. I learned the Rubik's Cube one time just because I wanted to.
Fuck that shit. I would lose my mind trying to put – I am not touching a Rubik's Cube.
Oh, you could do it, brother. I will obsess over things individually, and, like, then I got it, though, like the Rubik's Cube. Like, for a month, that's all I wanted to do. Now I can pick it up anytime and don't even think about it. It's there, you know. I can do a fucking kickflip on a skateboard. That took me a damn year to do. Now I can just fucking do a kickflip on a skateboard. And I love just doing that weird, random shit. That's what my entire life's been about. And you can look at my tattoo schemes. I'm a very random person. I'm very open. Like, I'm accepting of anybody and anything. And I was like that in school. Like, I never understood the groups, you know. Like, you would have the emo kids over here. You'd have football players over here. You'd have the people that thought it was cool to dip snuff over there. I hung out with all them motherfuckers. Like, I legit did. I never allowed myself to be put in one particular group. And I got along with everybody in school, man. I really did. The few people that, you know, wanted to be assholes, luckily I was big enough that I got to take up for myself. And the only fights that I ever actually got in wasn't really over me. It was for taking up for other people.
Like,
I never fought anybody to fight somebody, but if I seen somebody being a bully, I would smoke their fucking ass, dude. Right. And I'm still that way today.
Let me tell you what happened Friday night. And I don't care if you hear this show tonight or this show right now, dickhead. So I got a, I got a buddy who used to be 330 to 360. He's a very big dude. Now he's lost a whole lot. He's like 180 now. But wow. Me and him started losing weight at the same time. I quit for a while because I just couldn't. I was getting too wrapped up in it, and I think it was taken away from too much. So now I just try to maintain a healthy weight.
Most definitely.
But so the last time we were over at this house, me and my buddy and some more folks, we get back in the truck, and we start to leave, and this guy tells me, he opens up, and he's like, that guy over there, he used to pick on me when I was in school, and he used to give me, like, such a hard time to the point where, like, the dude got emotional in my truck. Well, wow. I told him.
As a grown man.
Yeah, we're same age. So, wow. And I was like, dude, that's fucked up. He used to do that shit to me, too. Like, he used to do it to me, too. So, my dad just, like, broke his neck July the 20th on his 60th birthday last month.
Wow.
He broke his neck. Yeah, he's getting by. I mean, he's doing better.
Damn.
But what happened was I just been really stressed out, like, because I'm having to pay.
I can't even imagine.
Yeah, I'm having to pay his bills and mine. He didn't have insurance. He's been doing manual labor since he was 16. Like, it's just between raising money for him and everything. Like, I've just been stressed the fuck out. So I decided on Friday, I was like, you know what? I'm fixing to get rip, roaring, fucking drunk. And I had a DD, and I was like, you know what? I want to ride dirt roads. It's my favorite thing in the world. Well, then I get invited to this party. Well, that guy's over there. And
you're already emotional.
I'm already emotional. And like, I tell this dude, like, straight up, I'm like, look, I just need you to apologize. That's all I need you to do. I need you to say that you were sorry to me. Well, really, my buddy. Like, I was trying not to let it on too much about me. But I was like, I need you to apologize to him. And he's like, I'm not going to do it. I was like, he's like, I'm not, He's like, I'm not going to apologize for something I don't remember. And I was telling him, I was like, what's fucked up most about all this?
And you know he remembers that shit. Yeah.
I was like, what's fucked up mostly about this is, one, you either remember and you don't want to admit it, or two, it was so insignificant to you that you don't remember, but you left an everlasting scar on people. Like, exactly. You fucked them up. So then I got maybe drank a little bit more, and luckily I was around some really good friends that wouldn't let me get a hold of him. But I told him, because I was pushing every, you know, when you really fucking get to that point, you trying to push buttons. I looked at him. I said, dude, I will fuck you up. Then I will go inside and fuck your wife.
Like, God dang it. Yes.
I said, I will right now. Well, they're all their own type of way. I think they all may have some swinging in them. And that ain't my scene, but I teach them a lot. But I made it very clear. And then I end up slapping her on the ass later on as I walked past her just to prove a point. But he didn't want me. And I told, like, I made the point that night, and I want to make the point over and over and over again to people. You have to teach your children not to fucking bully and not to be ugly to kids. Yeah. Because, like, I shouldn't have acted that way the other night. That was wrong with me. That was me being the bully. I do feel bad about it. But at the same time, it's like, we've got to have people to stand up against fucking shit like that and remind them, like, this isn't the way. You really have fucked up a good person to where my buddy didn't even want to come over there the other night.
Because shit that happened in school.
Fucking 20 years ago.
Wow, that's insane, man. We don't realize what we do affects people positively and negatively in life forever, you know?
That's why you just got to be, you got to be nice to people. And you said something a while ago, and it's resonated with me. It's one of the things that has just taught me really how to be open and love folks and just be nice is I have a very big alphabet community following. There's a lot of the gays, a lot of the transformers. They love me because I'll talk shit to them, but like in a joking way, like we'll play back and forth. And you know what? They've got something right for the ones who aren't just assholes, but there's asshole straighties out there too.
Yeah.
But like,
oh, most definitely.
They just have fun and love.
They
are just fucking peaceful. Now, like I said, there's some that are out there, but there's a lot of people that are out there and a lot of things.
Well, I got friends that's gay, and like, I'm so proud for them that they don't have to fucking hide and be scared anymore. You know, they can just go out there and fucking be gay. I was like, hell yeah, that's cool as shit. You know?
Yeah. See, like, I live in South Georgia.
I get dick pictures and shit sent to me all the
time. Good God, I'm glad. I don't get them no more.
If I was gay, I'd be the happiest motherfucker. Yeah. I could fuck more dudes. But like, whenever people send me this shit, I don't get mad. I mess back like, hey, nice cock, brother. But I don't go that way. And they love it. They're like, that's the coolest response. And I'm like, hey, you got a nice dick, you know?
But that just shows how comfortable, like, in our sexuality that we are. Because there's some people, and you know them, because I know them, that if you send them a dick pic, they're finna roast you and try to make you look like it. Why? The dude was shooting a shot. I mean,
like whenever I tell people, be yourself, fucking Catfish Cooley loves you if nobody else does. I fucking mean that shit, man. Dude. I really do.
That's what makes you special, though. That's what makes you different than some other people is the fact that you're about teaching. You know, one thing with religion in me is I don't care what religious you are. There is one common denominator across every single different religion, and that is love your neighbor. That is love everybody. And every one of the religions is we're not the judge.
Yeah. I don't know if all of them say that, but a lot of them do.
Yeah, I mean, a bunch of them do. Like, I don't know some of them now, but bunch of them do.
See, that's whenever I got divorced and I had all that time and, you know, in my head, like, I read the Bible. I read the English version of the Quran. I started reading the Scientology stuff, and I realized meth has been around for a very long fucking
time. Very long time.
You know? But I'm kind of like you. Like, believe in what you want to believe in. Like, I don't know which book is right. I know that there's a greater power. Like, I feel that. I feel like something helps me keep from just totally fucking up my life. And I know that as long as I don't quit trying, I'm going to make it and shit's going to be okay. And I feel like something's there rooting for me, man. I really do.
Yeah, you know? It don't matter what you believe. Like, I believe Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, and that's me. But if you don't, you know, that's not my place.
No.
You know, that's not my place. I want you to be happy, whatever makes you happy. Like,
oh, definitely.
One thing that's taboo here is, like, still, 2021, because you got ignorant-ass folks. I like black women. I like black women. I like white women.
Well,
I just like goddamn women. Right.
Yeah. So if you say you don't, you're a liar.
Yeah. So like if you see me out at the bar or something and I'm at fucking Crazy Boy Country Bar, because I love country music, I love rap music, and I got a pretty ass black girl with me, like you still get people are like, what the fuck is going on? You know what? This person is very attractive. She's probably gonna make me very happy later.
Oh, hell
yeah. And you know what? Like, fuck you. If you're still weird about it, why can't people just leave everybody alone and just let them be happy?
That's because people do not think with their own conscious decisions. They go off reactions. They're fucking programmed from their grandparents to their parents to them. And it's not that anybody's stupid. It's that people's uneducated about so many fucking aspects of life. Still to this day, here in Texas, if you see a salamander run across the ground, somebody's going to say, don't touch that motherfucker. My pawpaw said it was poisonous and it'd kill you. I'm like, you stupid fuck, you know, Google something, damn it, you know.
Yeah. You used to do like the mud bog tours and everything and all that stuff,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. See,
like, I made a comment on country radio last year, the year before, and I got asked not to do them no more. Like,
really?
Yeah, like with me, with the people that were like paying me to go to them, whatever, I don't support and I don't condemn the Confederate flag. I don't. Like, it's to each their own. It don't mean anything to me. But, like, my dad even has a Confederate flag tattoo. So I had to have the talk with him when he heard me say it and was like, why? And I was like, look, I know to generations before that's African-American what it meant to them.
So but it offends people now. It really does.
Yeah, it does.
I know exactly where you're going with it.
You know what I'm saying? But to me, it don't mean shit to me. Like, no offense to anybody. If it means something special to you, that's fine, but I don't want to be seen as a bigot. I want to see both sides of a conversation.
We're from the South, but the fact of the matter is, I don't understand how people symbolize shit. Like, the cross has always been a confusing thing to me. Like, you wear the cross, that's what they killed Jesus with. If they'd have killed him with a fucking hammer, would people be wearing hammers around their neck? You know, the flag.
Well, the symbol of the cross isn't where he got hung on, is because he carried his cross there.
Like that makes a little more sense now, but I think people symbolize, like, why bitch about a thing when you could go do something?
Yeah,
just fucking just do shit. Quit living 10,000 goddamn years ago about anything. Just fucking do what you want to do. If you like a flag, fucking have the flag. It don't make me a fuck one way or another, but just because I'm from the South, people assume that I should be running around waving the motherfucker.
I think it's extremely bad for business. And I think one person has made it work for them, and that's Upchurch, and I don't know him. I never got the pleasure of meeting him.
But I got to meet him not long ago. Super
really?
Fucking cool dude. Yes.
That's what every single person I have heard has said, what a genuinely nice guy he
had. He was cool as a fucking cucumber, man.
But if you look, and I applaud him for standing up for his beliefs. I would do, if you were to come at me or anybody was to come at me about something to do with the cross or my religious beliefs, I would stand up same way that he's done. But
that's because you truly believe in it. Yeah. You truly love it. And that's cool.
So, and I figured, I think you'd be the same way. But the thing is like, you got to be business savvy.
I'm such a non-confrontational person.
Yeah.
I don't want to do anything that's knowingly going to offend or upset anybody.
You see, like, if you, I'll go and tell you this, this is what's crazy. You probably got a big bump from being on Tosh. You probably got like a nice
not as big as I'd have wanted at the time, but progressively over time, it helped a lot.
Well, if you would have had any symbol that meant hate at whatsoever to another.
In 2021, they go back, it'll fucking ruin my career.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I do though? Every time we get a new sponsor on the show, because I'm not worried about it, because cancel culture really can't fuck with podcasts. It falls under freedom of speech. You downloading this, you're giving me permission to ear fuck you. I can say whatever I want to. You know that you're coming in here to listen to me. You know what you're getting. So
and what people tickle me about that, like you constantly see them on Facebook bitching, this is freedom of speech and I'm getting banned for 30 days. It's not fucking freedom of speech. Mm-mm. It's a social media website that was created by an individual with a set of fucking rules. And if you don't go by them rules, just like anything else, you're going to fucking get in trouble.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. But with all of that, I tell my sponsors right off the bat that if you go back and you look at my social media from when it started, there's liable to be some shit on there you don't like. But I believe in growth. I believe that there was a lot of things that I posted that was probably wrong that I grew from it, and it made me less ignorant on subjects. But if
not
you don't,
ignorant to the fact.
Yeah, exactly.
Know?
And people don't. I
agree with that 1,000%, man. I grew so much. And
think about it. Me and you have been blessed enough to where we have got to experience different sides of things to where our regular friends will never, ever get to see or hear.
Do you know how many people never leave the state they live in?
A lot.
Like, the first time I ever went to Canada, like, I was fucking mind blown. Like, I live in Texas. I'm from Louisiana. If I tell my friends, like, hey, I got to go to New York, they're like, oh, you going up there with them Yankees? I'm like, have y'all ever partied with them motherfuckers? They get down like New York, them motherfuckers out there slinging mud, drinking. You go to Canada, they had rebel flags and shit on top of a fucking tour bus with stripper poles. We're all the fucking same. People is people, man.
I did a show last week with a woman who was in the Olympics for softball 2 weeks ago in Tokyo, and they won the bronze medal for Canada.
What?
Yeah, like, so me and Danielle, she was on, like, Good Morning America. I just got really lucky and got her on the show.
And she's
a badass. But, like, she was telling me the same thing. And she invited me up to Canada. She's like, trust me, you will have a blast up
here.
That's
fucking awesome. I love Canada.
The only place that I would rather live than Georgia, though, and I got to give it up to you sons of bitches in Texas. I went to Texas in March on a road trip for work, and I almost didn't leave.
I love Texas. I don't know why, but I fucking am infatuated with anywhere in Tennessee. I love Tennessee, but it's too fucking cold there in the wintertime. But Texas it feels like home, man. Like ever since I, lost all my shit in Louisiana, like I didn't plan on living right here where I'm at, but I met so many good people and I kind of created myself over. And I just feel like this is where the roots of me is at. Like, whenever I leave, I genuinely fucking miss this place. No matter how much fun I'm having, like, I want to go home, to reset.
I think the thing with Texas is it's the most genuine, ass, nice people, like, manners, everything. And that shit just really
makes
a difference.
For the most part, yes.
When we went to the Stockyards, it was my first time going to Dallas-Fort Worth to the Stockyards and everything.
Dallas is huge, ain't it?
Yes, dude. Oh, my God. This Texas is fucking huge. It's ridiculous. And, man, it's just the quality of people. I heard Joe Rogan talking about once he moved to Austin. And I was like, okay, I've never been to Texas. I'm setting up this road trip to go to Houston, then to Dallas. So
yeah, what he said, I want y'all to teach me how to boat because I don't want to fuck this up.
Yeah, but you learn, like you just it. Like in Georgia used to be the same way. Now there's some weird shit that's here, and
I've always had good experiences in Georgia too. Now,
yeah, well, it's good. It's good in certain places, but we have to tell people if you're coming in Georgia, just realize that Atlanta ought to be its own fucking state. Atlanta's its own state. We don't even count Atlanta no more. And
I wish that there was a helicopter ferry. Like you could drive to Atlanta and get in it and fly you the fuck over and put you on the other side. Traffic is fucking horrible there.
To go to Nashville from where I live, and I go like every 2 months for about a week. I leave here. I had to go through Atlanta, which is horrible. Then you got to go through fucking Chattanooga. That's almost just as bad.
Stayed there the other night. I understand what you're talking about 100%.
It's about a 5-hour trip how it should be. And if I don't leave like at 2:00 in the morning to beat traffic, turns into like an 8-hour trip every fucking
time. Oh, yeah, most definitely. The reason I stayed in Chattanooga instead of driving straight through to Manchester, Kentucky, was because I done drove about 13 hours and the traffic was so bad. I was like, I ain't even fighting this shit. I'm getting a room. I'm leaving early in the morning before everybody else does. And that's exactly what I did.
I drive in the middle of the night. That's always me.
I drive a lot at night too.
I can't do it. You're not a flyer?
Fuck flying.
See, I'm scared shitless of it. I'm scared.
I love the actual flying, like the getting on the plane, the convenience of traveling really fast, really quick. But the shit you have to fucking do to fly now is so fucking aggravating. So many people, takes forever. I've had the worst luck. I was flying home from Nashville one time, the first show my dad ever come with me. We left Nashville. We flew to Mississippi for some fucking reason, and we got on a layover for 22 fucking hours. We stayed in the airport. I could have rode a bicycle from Mississippi to Texas in damn near the same amount of time it took us to get home, and that's happened to me several fucking times.
Yeah, there's something nice having your truck there and just being able to go when you want to.
Oh, yeah, I have got where I'll drive to any fucking word, and, like, I can impressively fucking travel, like, 17, 18 hour trip, I'll knock that bitch out in a day, go to sleep, wake up, and go do two shows the next day, and then fucking turn around, come home the next day. I'll be gone 3 days and drive that motherfucker.
I'm finna have you in Georgia so goddamn quick, my guy.
I drive through there all the time, brother.
Shit. There's just so much shit I want to ask you about. I think we'll wrap this up in a few minutes, but we're going to have to do another one.
I'll give some people something funny that they can relate to. I'm a comedian, so they're looking for that. Flying with my wife, Miss Monika Cooley. Let me fucking tell y'all about this dingy bitch, okay?
Yeah.
It was 9/11 this year. Like, stressful fucking date to be going to the airport in the first place. You got COVID fucking ramped up. Everybody's scared to death of that shit. We go through TSA. Everything goes good. We go to get onto the airplane. And as we're handing the lady at the kiosk her ticket to go through, she tells me that I have a vent on the front of my mask and I have to put the little blue mask on. My wife doesn't understand. She's a little more confrontational than me. She's like, why in the fuck? I paid $12 for that mask. He's wearing that mask. And I'm like, no, I'm not. The lady said to put this one on. Let's go. Thank you, ma'am, for saving my life. Whatever you need to hear, I'm going to go have a fucking good day. Give me the mask. My wife's like, what the fuck? She's acting like we're fucking terrorists or something. I'm like, Monika, you can't say the fucking word terrorist on 9/11, you dingy bitch, you know? Well, then the lady asked her, she goes, you don't have any batteries in your purse or anything. Well, my wife does OnlyFans. We got a whole bag full of dildos, brother. My wife sits on the floor in front of men, women, children, God, and everybody and starts taking these batteries out of her dildos. I'm like, oh, my fuck. You don't embarrass me. And I was fucking embarrassed. We get on the airplane. We land. The next night, I'm getting ready for the show. And I had like a scraggle on the back of my pants leg. And she goes, here, let me cut that off for you. She reaches in her purse and she pulls out a pocket knife about that fucking long. I'm like, did you have that knife on the airplane in your purse? And she was like, yeah, I got a lot of them. She had 7 fucking knives in her purse and her carry-on on 9/11 after she had slung dildo batteries everywhere and told the woman we wasn't terrorists. That is why I do not fly no more.
No, you probably can't. You're probably on the fly list now.
Dude, I'm not traveling with my wife in an airplane no more. I will fucking ride a tandem bicycle to fucking Egypt before I fly with her anywhere again.
God damn. Dude, I have to. Like, I have to learn to fly. I've never, ever flew because I'm scared of it. But
going by yourself is fucking easy breezy. But when you're going with wives and dogs and shit, hop in a truck and drive, brother.
That's what, dude. But I also like road trips. I like to be able to stop at cool fucking places. There was a couple of cool ass places when we got to Texas that we stopped at just for the hell of it. I mean, just to chill.
Hell yeah.
But man,
if you've never flew, eat you a handful of edibles and have a good fucking time. Dude. You will be scared to death. You'll wonder why we're born. Does life even matter? And by the time you land, you'll just fucking be happy to be alive and it all be good again.
You know what? I just got the show that me and you's going to do in live in person when I could talk you into coming to Georgia. I have never took an edible.
What?
All right, so I got in a lot of trouble for stealing shit when I was like 18 to 21, right? I was just a bad person. So I know what it's like to be in a detention center for like 60 days one time, 90 days the other.
Yeah.
And I am such a stickler for not doing anything that makes my fat ass go to jail. Now, but the difference is like if somebody's got like a THC pen or they bring it to the studio or something, or they got a bowl or something, I'll fucking hit that shit. But I'm
As long as you're not carrying the shit around with
you. Like, you get in fucking trouble for it. I ain't getting in trouble for it.
Oh, yeah. Well, dude, but here in Texas, they made the Delta 8 legal.
We got it here now.
When it first come out, I was like, man, that shit ain't going to. And I'm the same way. Like, if I'm in a state that has weed, I'm going to buy that weed there, and I'm going to smoke the fuck out of it. But here, dude, that Delta 8 shit will rock your fucking world, and it's 100% legal. And they got some edibles that'll cross your fucking nuts together, son.
My buddy, fucking Lee Tucker, when I was telling you about the musician the other day, I got to introduce you to, because you two would fucking, y'all, I'm telling you, you'd be best friends. I just know it. He's trying to quit drinking, or drinking as much. So he went and bought the Delta 8 stuff. And then we're sitting here at the studio. I'm playing golf on the big screen, and we're just hanging out at the studio, just chilling and shit. And we both hit it. And he's never really done anything like that before.
Oh, yeah, he was rocked.
And that bitch was giggling his fat ass off 20 minutes. He just started looking at me and giggling. And he was just like, oh, I'm fucked, aren't I?
Dude, I love it. Back when I was drinking, I was so emotional. And anything that happened was kind of like you with the guy. Like, oh, we got to fight. I got to do something. Yeah. I got to prove I'm a man. Now that I've fucking smoked the Delta 8 and shit, and I'm high, like somebody could run into my truck in the driveway, and I'm like, well, give me an insurance card, brother. I'm sure we'll fucking work this out. So I'm like, I don't think just fucking emotionally. I think more rational. And it has truly, it's helped me so fucking much. I look at it as a medicine. I really do. And it has increased the well-being of my life tenfold.
Because it is.
It really is, man.
The thing with THC for the longest time, the government knew a very long time ago, very, very long time ago, that if you made marijuana legal, that it would kill the pharmaceutical companies.
Most definitely.
It will kill the pharmaceutical companies.
Mm-hmm.
And now
it's fucking up,
Now it's done got to the point that you can't hide it anymore. You cannot hide from all the studies and everything how good it is for you mentally, physically. Mm-hmm. When they say God made it, he made it for a reason.
Hey.
That is homegrown ass medicine. And
now, the other day, I think I smoked too much. I stared at myself into the mirror long enough that I convinced myself that we're the aliens and time machines is the UFOs and all that shit. But other than that, I loved it. I was scared to death.
What do you feel about aliens? Because it's one of my favorite subjects.
Hey, I swear to you on everything as far as my knowledge, about 4 fucking months ago, I was laying in the studio. I was watching TV with my wife, and I don't know, it was 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning. And my neighbor come beating on my door, scared the fucking shit out of me. And he was like, there's a fucking UFO over your house. And I was like, dude, shut the fuck up. He was like, I swear on fucking everything. I went outside. My buddy Joe Oliver and my other neighbor, Tina and Toby, was standing in the yard. I walked over to their yard. There was this big circular fucking thing. It had 3 or 4 lights on it. Like, it was huge, like the size of a fucking football field, huge. And about the time he got his phone, he went to take a video. It didn't go up. It didn't go down. It didn't go left. It didn't go right. It just disappeared.
Damn.
I ain't gonna lie. I had smoked a little bit that day, but I had not smoked that fucking
question.
Much.
That was my next question.
Dude, like, I asked my neighbors all the time. I was like, what the fuck does people think when y'all tell them? And they're like, we ain't told anybody. I'm like, do you believe you seen it? And they're like, we know what we seen. And I got on Facebook. We got a little talk group, like, meanwhile, in Vider, Texas. And, like, I went to it, and I went to post, what the fuck was that? Whenever I did, it was like 10 or 15 people had done posted. They're like, what the fuck's the circle thing with the lights on it above Vider, Texas? And I was like, motherfucker. And then I Googled it, and this shit's been started seeing everywhere. Like, this ain't a once-in-a-lifetime thing. Like, it's starting to happen very fucking currently. And I don't know, man.
I'm going to tell you something I've never told. I've never told on the show before. I have never, ever put this out there before. When I was a kid, I remember, and I cannot explain, I was probably about 10 years old, 10, 11 years old. No drugs involved, nothing like that. I was in my yard at night, and I will forever remember it looked like a rainbow. It looked like a rainbow came into the ground and went back up. Like to the day I die, I have no explanation of it. We lived out in the country, fucking in the shitty little house.
How did you feel?
I was confused. I just remember being confused.
I felt calm as fuck. I don't know why. That's what I told them when it left. Like, they was freaking out. And I was like, why are y'all freaking out? And they're like, we don't know what the fuck that was. And I don't know why, but it made me feel so calm and at fucking peace. I don't know why, but I had that feeling. And when I think about it, I just feel like everything's okay. Like, I don't know why, but when I picture it, it just calms me down. It was the strangest shit that ever happened.
Well, it's us knowing that we're not alone.
I don't know.
Well, like, here's another thing with it. The government in the past year has literally came out with all this stuff. They're easing our way into it. Because I was listening to this, I can't remember who the hell it was, and they made perfect sense when they said it. But if they were to just flat out say that we're not alone, the fucking world will lose their mind.
When a few kids ate Tide Pods, the internet lost its fucking mind. What do you think they'd tell them if the government come out and said aliens are fucking real? It'd be people freaking fucking balls, son.
But there's no fucking way a logical person can sit here and say the universe is this fucking big and we're the only life in it.
I agree. I never thought about it too much until that moment happened. And now I've been super into studying and watching shit. And I don't know. I don't know what the fuck I seen, but I know that it was weird and it made me feel calm. That's all I know.
I tell you what sold
me. And I hope I get to see it again. I really fucking do.
I promise you, well, they're probably going to be our fucking neighbors.
Probably.
You know what? Because of the Biden administration, they're probably the reason they're like letting us know about them now so they can vote.
God damn it, son.
They went from illegal aliens to interterrestrial aliens, but we're going to get them voting rights. Damn it, son. But no, like, there's too many things that have happened that are so unexplainable. What got it for me was probably about a year or two ago. And I knew I had saw what I saw when I was a kid, but still, you don't know what the fuck that is. Yeah. I started reading all these occurrences, like, from other countries, especially around, like, nuclear bases. Like, the stuff that has happened around some nuclear sites is very, very weird. And it seems like that if you believe in aliens, it's either one that it wouldn't be a fair fight. You know what I'm saying? Like, it would be like a human squashing an ant. I don't ever think that it's them coming after us because they're threatened by us. I think it's probably
they're interested or something.
They're interested, or it's us in 500,000 years when we develop time travel, and we'll be like, hey, stop this fucking shit. Like, hey, let's cut out the nuclear shit.
Like, I actually believe that new movie come out, War of the Worlds or whatever. Like, I can see that being feasible in some type of way, you know? Yeah. Like, for sure. Like, I really do. Like, hey, let's go check on them, tell them they better stop this shit before we fuck it up again, you know?
Yeah, no fucking shit. I mean,
like, in my mind, I thought that we had come to this planet. I was like, look at it. Look at this fucking house. Look at the driveway. Look at the roads. Like, we can't breathe pollen without getting fucking sick. And it's natural here. And I was like, the only plant that is a plant that's illegal is weed. So that's the only plant that we brought from our home planet that we fucking destroyed, and we brought it to Earth. And the government don't want us smoking it because it's going to open up too much of our fucking minds. We're going to figure this shit out again, and then we're going to know that we're aliens. And I was like, what the fuck? It's all making sense.
I've never thought about it like that. That is a fucking stupid good point.
Dude, like,
that is.
I did. Like, I was like, what the fuck? That's why they don't want us smoking this shit. We're getting too smart, you know?
Well, that, and think about it, like DMT and ayahuasca and all these things that make you peel back what you know and see, like, something else. There's a reason why all that shit's illegal.
Yeah, I mean,
there's got it. They don't want you to know. They don't want
makes
you to
motherfuckers know. Question too much shit. You know.
See, I got a buddy. He comes to the studio all the time, and I let him get on every once in a while. I'll get on the mic when we're. I do a lot of like I call them our shit talk shows, to where it's just a room full of people. We're drinking. Some people smoking. They're doing whatever they want to, and we're just talking about life and bullshit. Like that's all it is. This guy believes in like the reptilians. He believes in every single conspiracy theory that there
I've met so many people like that. The other day I was trying to work out at the gym, and this guy, he just went on about, you know, the way you've brought up politics with me, that's feasible. You know, you're saying something, I'm listening. But he was just like jobbing this shit down my throat about all these conspiracies about these fucking owl people and the reptiles and all this stuff. And he looks at me and he was like, do you know what I'm talking about? I was like, oh, yeah, man, I believe you. I said, apparently Abraham Lincoln killed fucking vampires and shit for years. I never even knew it till I watched a documentary about it the other day. And he was like, you don't give a fuck what I'm talking about, do you? I said, do you know how much porn and cartoons I got to go watch to get this shit out of my head that you just pushed into my fucking ear holes? I was like, shut up, dude.
Yeah,
like,
I can't. I don't. It's just like so
he was stupid. Passionate. He was passionately pissed off about this shit that he's fucked his mind, man.
I think the ones that are that way are the ones that are most easily manipulated, and they think that they're the hardest to manipulate. They're the ones that just got brainwashed by the stupidest fucking shit possible.
Dude. And they believe it to the point where it ruins their life because that's all they can think about it. I don't give nothing my time if I can, like, I'm very cool with not controlling situations. Like, I learned that a long time ago. You can't control everything, and it's okay to not control everything. And I don't give that shit 10 minutes of my day, man. Like, I refuse to fucking worry about something that I cannot fucking change. Jamie Foxx said it best. Whenever it comes to voting and stuff, fucking vote locally, think globally, try to treat people like they're fucking human beings, you know? And be as considerate as you can. Help somebody if their tire's fucked up on the side of the road. Roll the fuck on, man.
See, that's why you're a good person, and that's how we end the show. That is a great cliff note to end the fucking show on.
Well, thank you, my brother. I've enjoyed the fuck being on here. I hope you nothing but success. And I'm going to hold you up to that edibles thing. And I know Mr. Ginger Billy, he likes edibles too. So we will come to Georgia in September. I'll talk to him. We'll try to make this happen.
Do you know how fucking funny
that
show would be? You and him on edible. Well, you know what? It'd probably be funny for y'all laughing at my ass being glued to my goddamn chair.
The other day, Tommy Chong had shared that lighter video of mine, and he put stoner wisdom. And I guess somebody told him who I was. Well, I opened my Instagram, and I seen that Tommy Chong had messaged me. I was like, fucking no way. And he messaged, he's like, hey, man, he was like, sorry, didn't know your name. He was like, now I know who you are. You got some great stuff. Never stop being you. And I was like, this is the best fucking day of my life, you know?
You want to hear how things line up so good? I just remembered something. Billy is in Savannah, Georgia, September the 4th. He's doing a show. That is about an hour and 40 away from my studio.
Just message me and remind me the dates. I haven't done any tour dates for next year. We're about to start getting working on that. I'm going to be doing the comedy, be doing the music, and I will fit you in, brother.
Hey, man, you're the shit, dude. You are. Hey, you are what I wish everybody would be on social media.
Well, you as well, man. You're open-minded. You're very easy to talk to. You're a good-looking motherfucker.
God damn, it's like looking in a mirror.
Telling you.
Woo! Except, you know, you're funnier. I got a better beard. But it evens out. It evens the fuck out, my guy. I'm not eating no goddamn hot shit. I'll tell you that, though.
Dude, yesterday, my buddy brought me these peppers and this hot sauce and stuff. And he was like, here, my buddy, give me this gift to you. And I was like, dude, it's been so fucking long. Like, I'm terrified. I did that shit when I was drunker than fuck.
I bet that if I had to guess there was anything you wish you would have never started or doing, it's probably the hot shit, right?
Dude, I don't know how I've never got stomach ulcers and shit. Everybody, though, the number one question is, how does it feel when you go to the bathroom, you know, and thinking the number two? that ain't shit. When you piss about 3 hours later after eating that hot fucking shit, I have literally teared up before. Like, people don't understand how fucking hot that shit really is, man. And my body got to a point where I fucked my gag reflexes. I can't puke. Like, if I ate rat poison and needed to vomit, like, my body won't let me no more. They're like, fuck it. We've tried to tell him all these years to quit doing this shit. Go on, let him die. Yeah. The last time I drank all that hot sauce together, I wound up laying on my stomach in the yard, and I run a water hose down my throat, and I was trying to wash it back out because it was hurting so bad. And my buddy was watching me, and I got the snot coming out. I fucking teared up. I'm trying to breathe, and I look at them, and they're like, dude, are you okay? And the first thing I said is, I said, I bet y'all think I could suck dick good, huh? And they're like, what the fuck? I was like, I can't even gag anymore. I've ruined my esophagus, you know?
Hey, I'll tell you, I don't feel bad for you piss burning. I'm a single man in South Georgia. My piss always burns.
Amen to that. Get you some penicillin. You'll be all right, brother.
Hey, if I go to the health clinic one more time, I get a free visit on my hole punch card.
Hey, that's what I'm talking about, by God.
All right, big fella. Well, I will reach out to you in the next little bit, but thank you. And thank each and every one of y'all for listening to Politics, Religion, and Whiskey. We will catch y'all next time.